This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Dr. Tim Garson joins me live in studio. He is provost at the University of Virginia and the co-author of Healthcare Half-Truths, Too Many Myths, Not Enough Reality, which has just come out in paperback. Is that right?
That's right, Coy.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And thank you for coming in. I know you're one of the busiest people in Charlottesville, and I really appreciate your time. You are the man to talk to right now, of course, when we are looking at a transfer of power in this country from across the aisle, literally, to the Obama administration. Tell us your thoughts, generally speaking, about what all of this is going to mean vis-a-vis healthcare in America. Because Obama ran on a new approach to healthcare, a totally new plan. I'm going to go to Washington and do something totally new.
He did. He ran on that platform, but I think it's important for all of us even to go back 6 months and say, okay, was there a real possibility of huge change in the first year or two, even before the economic issues hit? And the answer is many of us were concerned even back then about how any administration would pull this off. So the short answer to this is great thoughts, and now how do we take it step by step?
What are the nuts and the bolts?
You bet.
Yeah, and especially also as well, you know, how is the Congress going to influence that plan? Because you've got a whole bunch of people there who may have some different ideas.
You bet. I mean, we saw this back in the early 90s where a president and a president's wife went in one direction and the Congress was not brought along. I cannot imagine that anything like that would show up this time.
We're talking with Dr. Tim Garson. So let's break it down. Help us understand, in an ideal world, what President-elect Obama would like to do, and then we'll sort of explore what you think really might happen.
I want to be really careful because none of this is based on personal information. This is based on discussions. This is based on speculation, and you know, Churchill said something like political ability is the ability to explain exactly what's going to happen and then turn around and explain why it didn't. So no real pride of authorship here.
Gotcha.
I think we know what he said he wanted to do, and what he wanted to do was, if you think a little bit about Massachusetts, that is a fairly simple way of saying what is it that now President-elect Obama was talking about. There's not, if we sort of break it down and try and keep it pretty simple, ignore for the moment the word mandate, right? As soon as everybody hears Massachusetts, the first word is mandate. Ignore that for the time being and just say, look, a state decided to expand the public programs and the private programs. That's what Massachusetts did. Massachusetts said that they would cover children up to 300% of the federal poverty level. Now, for a family of four, 300% of the federal poverty level is $60,000. So in Massachusetts, children up to 300% of the federal poverty level are covered by a combination of Medicaid and SCHIP, the state children's health insurance program. Real simply, that's the public programs. Then what the state said, they would then subsidize adults in the private system up to the same amount, up to 300% of the federal poverty level. Now, how would they do that? They would say, okay, if you make $50,000 and you are in a family of four, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts will subsidize how you buy health insurance in the private market. Now, in order to do that, people in the private market have to be able to buy insurance, right? Any of people in small businesses or individuals know very well that it's very expensive to go buy insurance by yourself or even if you are a small business. And so what Massachusetts did was they created something called a connector, which literally connects individuals and small businesses with insurance products in the private system. So that's the basis of the Massachusetts plan.
Doesn't sound like socialism to me.
There you go. There you go.
Sounds pretty far from that.
There you go. Okay. Public program expansion for children. Private program expansion for adults. And then Massachusetts did say, and oh, by the way, if in that case insurance is affordable, and we'll get back to what that means, if insurance is affordable, then everybody in Massachusetts has to have it. So, yep, that's an individual mandate. Then they said, and oh, by the way, businesses, except for the smallest businesses, also have to chip in a certain amount. Now, in Massachusetts, that's not a very large amount. It is still an employer mandate. It is not a large amount. It's some. And so the parts are there for an individual mandate, which means everybody has to have it, an employer mandate, which means everybody except for the smallest of businesses has to contribute, and then public program expansion for kids, private program expansion for adults. That's Massachusetts. And so anybody that's real interested, just go look at the, you know, Massachusetts, state of Massachusetts.
That's a
website.
Good model for understanding what Obama wants to do.
Well, that's a good model for virtually anything that is going to happen in any state that says, okay, we have to do something. Now, ignore the mandates and just say there will be some public program expansion and some private program expansion.
That's so there's no proposal on the books to do what France is doing, and all the doctors work for the government. That's not on the books anywhere.
Not on the books anywhere. Okay. And I think the difference, and there's a huge difference that people don't quite, when they say, let's not have Canadian health care and let's not have English health care, those are very different, and there's a very important difference, which is in Canada, all the doctors work for the government, and there is no private system at all. It is not legal. Now, there are some little inroads, but in Canada, one system, one payer.
You want to practice medicine, you work for the government.
You're it. Yeah. That's virtually not true anywhere else in the world. Okay? England, France, Germany, Australia, Japan have public systems and private systems. And so I know of, so when people even talk about a single payer here, I don't believe that anyone is talking about a single payer like Canada where nothing else can happen. I just, again, obviously personal opinion, I can't imagine that happening. I could imagine 15 years from now, not 15 days from now or 15 months from now, 15 years from now, a floor of coverage that's available to everybody that is seamless, that actually is a single payer. But all that means is that Medicare, Medicaid, state and county hospitals would all have a similar funding mechanism. That's it. I cannot imagine. Then, obviously, on top of that, there's private insurance. And so I just cannot, ever is a long time, but the United States being the United States, I can.
We're not about
imagine.
To rush to get rid of private health care.
No, ever. I just don't see it. But what when people are talking about single payer, I don't even see that for a large number of years. No one is proposing that. Massachusetts isn't doing it. No one is. Now, there are some plans that look like that, but they are all talking about the safety net. They are not saying, and one shall never have private insurance on top of that.
Right.
That's not what people are talking about.
They're talking about devoting most of the public dollars towards creating this safety net so that people don't fall through and you don't have everybody going to the emergency rooms when they have a cold, kind of thing.
That's correct. And I mean, a single payer literally means one payer. It does not necessarily mean that everybody works for the government. That's socialized medicine. That's Canada. That is the public system in England. Okay, I think that's way off.
You don't see anything like that in the Obama plans.
I don't. No, the Obama plan is as much like Massachusetts as can be, with some important differences. But if you just think that the big pictures of the Obama plan as published are that there is Medicaid expansion, state children's health insurance expansion, on to some point such that kids are covered.
Right, right.
Okay? He's very serious about covering all kids. Then there is, he has proposed, an insurance connector, very much like Massachusetts. So an insurance connector that would allow individuals and small businesses to buy health insurance at rates better than they are now. Now, the one that is different is that he has proposed a program that looks like Medicare that would compete in the private system, that small businesses and individuals could buy. Right, that's different.
Could buy from the government versus a private supplier.
Well, actually, no, it would buy it from this connector. The connector would have a bunch of different things available, you know, insurance company A, insurance company B.
Like an insurance broker.
That's right. That's what the connector is. And one of the options would be this Medicare lookalike.
But nobody's going to be forced off of, if they love their plan and they love what they have now, it doesn't sound like a President Obama would say, you can't do that anymore.
Absolutely. Now, again, as you pointed out yourself a couple of minutes ago, what President Obama wants and what the Congress want may be very different or similar. And what they would all want is very dependent upon what anybody can afford.
We're talking with Dr. Tim Garson, Provost of the University of Virginia and the author of Healthcare Half-Truths, which was recently released in paperback. Let's explore that idea. What do you think, what kind of timeline are we looking at in terms of being able to say, well, there it is? And you think he's going to roll it all out at once, or are we going to see it incrementally and like, here's the kids, and then here's the connector up and running? And then discuss how you think the politics of Washington might influence this process.
Hopefully the words "I don't know" at the start of this conversation won't completely shut down the discussion. So I have some thoughts, but to say anybody knows,
right,
certainly,
yeah, fair enough,
anybody who's really not doing it day to day, all right? So a lot of this is what if, all right?
Yeah.
So what is being talked about is that Senator Kennedy has been working on a very large, in quotes, healthcare bill. Now, what that looks like, I certainly don't know, and has not been a matter of public record. If it looks like Massachusetts,
where he's from,
there you go.
Yeah.
But it may not. But if it looks like Massachusetts, then it looks very much like what the Obama plan had in mind, except Obama stopped at children. And what I don't know, obviously, what any of us don't know, is what a Kennedy bill might look like. What could be going on, yay, as we speak, is a bill that considers very carefully what the Obama administration would want, and Kennedy could introduce a bill that looked very much like what he would want and what the Obama administration would want. So there is talk about a large health care bill happening fairly soon. What's in it is absolutely speculative. But what
and Kennedy's health condition would certainly, you would think that would help that bill, that people might want to see this as a...
There are people...
Help the PR battle, put it that way.
There are people that are talking about, let's see what we can do for Senator Kennedy. That's absolutely true.
For his legacy before he passes away, yeah.
That there are people saying, let's see what we can do for him. What I don't know is what's going to be in it. And then, therefore, what I don't know, given the obvious real issues with the economy, of what's possible.
We're talking with Dr. Tim Garson, Provost at the University of Virginia. His book is Healthcare Half-Truths, which was recently released in paperback. We're honored to have him live in studio. How do you see the economy affecting all of this? Because it's naive to think that it wouldn't affect it in some way. Or are they just going to move forward and say, this is what we have in mind, and we'll figure out how to pay for it later?
Well, if you go back even 6 months ago, and we start with the idea that that the uninsured, if you say, let's cover the uninsured, the number of $100 billion with a B, $100 billion a year, is one that is about in the middle that a lot of people would agree, yeah, whether it's 85 or 120, 40 billion here or there. But, you know, 100 billion is a reasonable number to think about.
Good ballpark number. Yeah.
So that's the number we're talking about. Now, if you then say 6 months ago, where's that money? That money is not obviously there, right? There's a lot of money being spent in a lot of places. But by the way, a lot of that, even at that time, was deficit spending. So it's not absolutely clear that if spending in other parts of the world, for example, were reduced, it's not absolutely clear that the Senate and the House would come back and say, oh, okay, thank you, we'll take that money and put it into health care. That's not absolutely clear that that would happen.
Right, right.
Remember, it's deficit spending. So then when you say, that's where it was 6 months ago, now what? There's some interesting, obvious things that have changed. Something that I've not heard, and mainly just because I may not have been reading the right things, but I've not heard in the midst of all of this unemployment, what's going to happen to the uninsured? Just that's one thing you don't hear a lot about. Guess what? It's around 45.3 million uninsured now. The odds are very good that if one were able to do the statistics today, it would be a whole lot higher than that. And if you then say, what would it look like 2 to 3 months from now? Probably higher still. Now, what's that number? Not a clue, but it would not surprise me if it went up 10%. If it went up to 50 million uninsured, it would not surprise me. It's difficult to imagine with all of the job losses that the people who are out of work are also not going to therefore be uninsured. I hope I'm wrong, but that's something you don't hear a lot about.
Yeah, that's not really being reported.
That's right. And
they're reporting all the businesses closing, the people losing their jobs, but then they're not following the logical conclusion that, oh, they just lost their health care.
And, you know, in the best of all worlds, everything's just where it was the next time they measure the uninsured 9 months from now, but I don't think so. So, I mean, the thing that is not talked about a lot is, and oh, by the way, we've now got more uninsured, likely, not less.
And one thing that you've really helped us to understand in your book is how we all pay for that. We all pay. You think you're fine, you have insurance, and your neighbor doesn't. Well, you're paying for the fact that your neighbor doesn't have insurance.
That's right. And yet, obviously, there's less neighbors to pay right now, right? And less probably willingness to pay on the part. And I don't know. Right? This is what's so, at least potentially, I will be a positive person in this and say some positive things. In times of crisis, America does pretty well. I don't know whether if you asked the people who still have jobs the question of a year ago of would you be willing to pay $50 for someone else's health insurance, it would be very interesting, and I'm sure people are doing it. I just haven't seen recent results.
Yeah, yeah.
It would be very interesting. Perhaps they would say, yes, I would be more willing now than I was a year ago. I don't know that.
Before we let you go, let me ask you this, because we're running out of time, but what would you like to see happen from where you sit, and you've been in the trenches, and you've been on the front line of medicine for a long time? What needs to happen now, like in the first year? What do they really need to move on quickly?
In the first year, the reauthorization of the state children's health insurance program just has to happen. President Bush vetoed it twice. The Congress was set to pass it, did not override his veto. The state children's health insurance program would cover an additional, catch this, 3% of the population, not exactly socialized medicine, but it would add 3% of coverage for uninsured kids.
Yeah, that's a lot
that
of children.
That needs to happen.
Yeah.
Now, I think both in Obama's plan and in some of Joe Biden's thinking and in Tom Daschle's thinking, who was a wonderful pick, by the way, for Secretary of Health and Human Services, there is an idea of stimulating the states to begin to innovate even more. Maybe people don't like how Massachusetts did it. Maybe they like other ways.
50 little laboratories exploring options.
Maybe 10 little laboratories. You probably don't eventually want 50 little laboratories, but some controlled, maybe federally supported innovation in states, in coverage, in how to do that, but also in cost reduction, in quality improvement, in information technology at the state level. So some state stimulation in the first year, some real planning in the first year for an 8-year plan. Okay, I mean, it's going to take that long. Imagine a couple of years of planning, and then you've got to roll something out over a 3-5 year period. You can't just say, okay, congratulations, America, here it is.
Yeah.
In the later time period, it is going to be possible to save money. There are a number of things that we should initiate now. Electronic medical records, figuring better ways to pay physicians based on quality. There are a number of things that could
happen. We can make changes today and save money.
Yeah. Well, and save money in 2, 3, 4 years that would come to fruition in 3, 4, 5, 6 years of real money, easily $100 billion. I mean, we waste a lot more than that. And so I'm optimistic there are things we can begin to think about now, which are in the and in fact, the state children's health insurance program was going to be paid for by cigarette taxes. So this is not, you know, another drain on the federal budget in the main.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are, and again, it depends how big that is when the Congress finally gets around to it. But state children's health insurance program, other state innovation, planning, and figure out how to begin saving real bucks.
Dr. Tim Garson is provost of the University of Virginia and the author of Healthcare Half-Truths, a must-read for listeners to this program. It was just released in paperback. Thank you so much for being here.
And thank
you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for your book as well. It looks great. Thomas Jefferson on Leadership.
There you go.
Looks terrific.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.